Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will be finding common ground and taking it to the next level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. This show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. It's my hope that you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. This is a no-holds-barred show. My guests will have differing spiritual belief systems, and some will have no spiritual beliefs. You may or you may not agree with things that are said. What I'd ask you to do is keep an open mind. This way, you can see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, today, my special guest is Mary Blake, who is just an enchanting author and radio show host and personality and free spirit. So I'm going to introduce Mary in just a minute. First, I'm going to read a little bit about Mary's background, and then I will bring her on the line. An arid bolt of lightning out of a clear blue southern Illinois sky awakened Mary Blake's dormant healing ability. 3 weeks later, the shocked 15-year-old overheard herself offering to give someone a message. Life would never be the same. Strangers began unburdening their innermost secrets to her, only to exclaim, "Why am I telling you this? I've never even told my best friend about it." After years of denying her natural talents, she arrived in New York City to open an antique and jewelry concession in the World's Fair. Still in denial of her natural talents, Mary fell in love with Manhattan. Its energy and culture provided the stimulus she needed to prepare for her life's work. I have some competition here. I'm just going to close the door. My dog wants to say hello to everybody. That is Shadow. And Shadow is supposed to be quiet, but he wanted to say hello. So continuing on. At an Association of Humanistic Psychology conference, she met other healers for the first time. A spontaneous healing of lung cancer compelled her to finally accept her own gifts. In gratitude, she committed the rest of her life to healing. Extensive studies with leaders in the field here and abroad enhanced and multiplied her natural talent. As an empath, spiritual coach, and healing energy channel, she has worked with celebrities, business executives, artists, ambassadors, and just people. In her spiritual development and self-mastery classes, she works as a catalyst to unleash and develop the latent talents of others. Mary is convinced that paranormal and extrasensory perception are mankind's birthright that civilization has repressed and denied. Mary considers multi-life therapy her greatest achievement. Her book, which we'll be talking about, Journals of a Healer, tells the story of its beginning and the excitement, the drama, the freedom it offers. Everything in that book has happened to real people. And so now I'm going to introduce Mary. Mary, are you there?
I'm here, David. Very happy to be here.
Well, welcome, and thank you for joining me today. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Well, I'm happy you invited me.
Were you happy? Were you able to find your poem?
I was. I am. I'm sitting here looking at it.
Well, I asked Mary to share a poem that. Yes, I would love to have you read it, and tell us the title of the poem.
The title of the poem is Love. Come fly with me across time and space. Let's plow imagination sea. And you can be alone with me, or lavishly we'll make a place for others warm and full of grace. Oh, dream with me a dream so pure that evermore we'll not be sure just what was real and what was fact, or what we had or what we lacked. Let's both forget the word exact. Then I can take you on a trip that passes stars at such a clip. Your head will spin, your heart will reel. We'll chase each whim and share and feel and never question what is real. For I'm a giant, so are you. Believe me, because I know it's true. And as we learn to let it flow, we'll take our time and let things grow. We'll know, we'll know, we'll know, we'll know.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Mary. Well, I want to ask you, can you tell me a little bit about your life before the lightning strike and what your early religious and spiritual life was like?
Oh, my goodness. I was born in the middle of the Bible Belt in southern Illinois in a small town. Mm. My grandmother was the featured soloist in the First Baptist Church. And my other grandmother was involved with almost a gospel Baptist church. And I tried my best to fit in, but I was an alien. Everybody called me weird. It was
tough.
This
before the lightning strike?
Yep.
They called you weird before the lightning strike? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So then, of course, when the lightning struck, everything changed. And I tried my best to pretend that everything was the same. Because when you're already weird, you don't want to be, that much weirder, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I just pretended that all I was doing massages. That was it. I just gave great massages. Couldn't figure out why nobody else had thought to do it, you know.
Now, I can relate to being an empath and having people tell me that they didn't know why they were telling me certain things. Did you have that overt talent, or did that happen after the lightning bolt strike?
That happened later because in my hometown, I really didn't have much opportunity to meet strangers or get involved with people who didn't expect me to know who they were. It was a very small town. It was about 10,000 people.
Okay.
So
after I graduated from
high school, we moved to central Illinois, to Peoria, which was about 10 times bigger.
Ah. Now, when did you start to become a little bit more open about your gifts and not feel that you needed to hide your seeming weirdness?
Well, I managed to convince myself that it was perfectly normal until half a lifetime later, really. I started practicing yoga, and yoga kind of it fine-tunes everything, you know. And it's like getting a tune-up to the car and everything works better. So one evening after the class, I said to my yoga instructor, you know, you had such a terrible lower back pain, I couldn't concentrate on the lesson tonight. And he said, what are you talking about? You know, it really upset him. And he said, no, I'm fine. And I said, well, you know, if you would like, I could give you a massage. You know, my mouth opened up and it just said these things without my permission. And he said, no, I'm fine. So the next week, he was hanging over the banister saying, "Oh, Mary, thank God you called." Came. And so I looked at him kind of strangely. He said, "You know, that massage you offered me." Well, so I gave him the massage. I didn't think anything about it, you know, after the class was over. And the next week, I started looking for another place to live, and I just dropped out of the class. And that was August of 68. And in March of 69, I called, and I realized I really missed those classes, and so I asked him if they were same time, same place. And he said, "Oh, Mary, thank God you called." And I kidded him about being desperate for students, and he said, no. He says, "You know, that massage you gave me." He said, "I haven't had any back pain since." And I said, "Yeah, that's nice." He said, "Yeah, I've been carrying shrapnel. I've been carrying shrapnel since World War II, and there were no 2 days side by side that I didn't have excruciating pain. But I want you to fix my leg. I pulled a ligament in my leg. I want you to fix my leg like you fix my back." Well, I could have run in smack into a concrete wall and wouldn't have been more shocked. I was terrified, and I was shaking, and I managed somehow to hang up, pretend there was somebody at the door, which I never do. And I was sitting there looking at my hand, saying, "Who are you? What do you want from me?" And about three weeks, I puzzled and I worked and I struggled to understand it. And finally, I decided, well, what the heck? If I can help a stranger, why don't I help the guy I'm in love with, who had a couple of serious back injuries when he was 14. In a gym accident, he severed the ligament in his left leg, and he'd never been able to straighten it out. They put the cast on it, and when they took it off, it just flopped, as he said, like a broken bird's wing. And then they had to open up and find out, dig for the ligaments, and put them together with silver wire. And he never was able to straighten that leg out. And then he had two back accidents, which made it worse.
Oh my.
And of course, he was so proud a man. He couldn't limp, so he kind of twisted his body so it looked like he was walking straight, which was a strain on the back. And he had been immobilized for like 6 weeks at a time with back problem. And it took me about 3 months, but when we finished, he could straighten out his leg as if it had never happened. And he never had another back pain as long as he lived.
Wow. Well, I'm going to do something that moves us forward in time, and then we're going to come back in time again. And the reason I'm doing this is in case there are any listeners out there that want to speak with Mary, we'll make that opportunity available to you. But what I really want to have Mary have a chance to do is to talk about her book, The Journals of a Healer. And before you do that, Mary, can you tell me what multi-life therapy is and how people can benefit from it?
Oh, yes. What we do, it's the closest thing to it is past life regression. But this is quite different because I do not use hypnosis. I work with relaxation techniques and guided imagery to help the client literally go into another lifetime. And I prefer to call it another lifetime because if it's in the past, it's kind of like cast in bronze, you know, and you can't change it. You can look at it and you can then bring it back and talk it through with traditional therapy methods or spiritual counseling or whatever. But in this particular way that spirit has taught me, we do literally go and dialogue and sort of walk through the other incarnation's life. And with spirit guidance, we're able to rewrite history and erase karma.
And that's what fascinated me.
Yeah.
No, I mean, from the first time you talked about it, and excuse the interruption, but that was just such a mind-blowing statement to hear from you. And I, you know, from having read your book, I can see how that has happened. But pardon the interruption. Please continue with what you were saying.
Oh, my heavens. No problem. It's, you know, it's almost as if you were, Dickens' story with Marley's Chains, the Christmas story. And suppose you were walking around carrying these chains all your life, and they were just there. It's your karma. Your karma made you do this. Your karma made you do that. You were suffering because of something you didn't know what it was. And then somebody said, why are you wearing those chains? I mean, it doesn't make it. Well, I don't know. I've always had these chains. And as if that person would say, hey, you know, look, it looks like there's a place over here where we can just unfasten it. Really? And then you unfasten it, and it falls off. And suddenly you're free of that karma, those chains, for the first time in your life. And that's kind of how it is, you know? It's that wonderful.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. I just, and that in effect changes whatever distresses might be going on in the current life as well. Isn't that
exactly.
correct?
Exactly. Yeah, because just as we bring forward unremembered childhood traumas that are affecting our everyday life and we don't even know it, we do the same thing with other lifetimes.
Wow. Well, would you tell us a little bit about your book and what readers can hope to glean from it? I mean, I've read the entire book, just to let the listeners know, and it's like a fantastic voyage into another dimension. And it reads like fiction, but it is not. It is nonfiction. And Mary goes through many different case histories, starting with the first time that she did the multi-life therapy. And maybe you'd like to talk a little bit about that and what that experience was like for you, because it was rather, it really shook you up, as I recall.
It sure did. Well, I was reluctantly teaching a healing class. There was this medical student who was fascinated with my healing work, really bugged me to the point where it was easier to give a class than to avoid her imprecations, shall we say. And it was the second class we had, and I was doing a demonstration on one of my regular clients who had colitis. And at the end of the demonstration, she called me over and whispered to me that she had had flashes of herself with her knees up in blood all over the place. And she asked me, "Is it possible she could have died in childbirth in another lifetime?" And I said, gee, I don't know. And I simply touched in with her. I put my hands on her forehead, her and the crown chakra. And she said, oh, I lost my feet. And I looked down, and she had a size feet, 10 feet. And it was hard to imagine how you could lose a size 10 foot. And anyway, she said, I don't know, it's just gone, and there's no feeling in it, and I just knew we were in big trouble, so I signaled another class member, and we managed to kind of drag her across the room and let her lie down, and I just knelt on my knees beside her and trying to comfort her, and she went into spasm, like contractions, and... her stomach swelled up like somebody put a basketball under her dress, and she was in labor.
Mm-hmm.
And she's saying, I don't know. I've never been pregnant, but I'm in labor. And it was so real that a couple of the women in the class jumped up and grabbed her hands and started pulling like crazy and said, push, push. I mean, it was just that, it was that, you know, intense. And I was literally shaking inside. And I didn't know where to turn. I was the instructor, and I had to maintain because the class would have fallen apart if I had fallen apart. So what did I have to do? The only recourse I had, I screamed for help inside my head. And it was as if this wonderful, incredible, warm, loving, wise being just slid into me, like putting me on like a glove. I could feel it just flowing through my head and my shoulders and my arms and my hands. And I started speaking in a different tone of voice that I'd never used before. And there was nothing I could do. I was kind of floating, you know, kind of in this little bubble, wondering, you know, an onlooker in my own life and in my own class. And I just, the voice that was coming through me kept asking her how she was feeling and guided her away from the medical, the kind of a medical explanation that she was giving, to her deep spiritual feelings. And it turned out that she was coldly, coldly angry because her husband was not there. And at that point, here she was dying in childbirth, and he wasn't around. So I'm saying to myself, wonder where the husband is. And the next thing I know, I'm flying through the air. And before I could even wonder what was going on, I kind of swooped down, and I see like a bloody rag doll thrown at the edge of a trail. And I zipped right back in and said, well, your husband is not neglecting you or avoiding you or uncaring. He just got waylaid by a couple of Indians, which also freaked me out. And of course, she wouldn't believe it. She was, at that point, she was so darn mad. Don't tell me anything. Yeah. I know he's not here, you know. And so the voice coming through me told her, all right, if you don't believe it, just go look for yourself. And she says, how can I do that? He says, very simple, just float through, out of your body and up through the ceiling and keep going through the roof and then ask to be taken to your husband. And so everybody in the class was holding their breath, you know. And so then she quietly said, okay, I'm ready to go. And at this point, I couldn't stand it anymore. So I spoke up and I said, where? You know, and she said, I'm ready to go. So we got very quiet, and then the voice came through again and told her to do exactly the same thing she had done before, to float up through the roof and then just keep going until she got to the end, the edge of the Earth's atmosphere. And there were spirits there that were waiting to take her to the most wonderful place she could possibly imagine, the place she belonged. And again, it got very, very still, and everybody, including me, was holding their breath. And then about 2 minutes later, she sat up and she started telling us what went on. Well, what made you... Well, the biggest thing that I forgot to tell you was that after she had been giving instructions to that, her own voice came through instead of the voice of this other woman who was dying. And she says, does that mean I'm going to die? Does that mean I'm going to die? And she said, and then again, the voice coming through me said, no, of course not. This is all on a consciousness level. And this is going to be very healing to you and to her. So let her go. So again, everybody holding their breath, and then she sat up, and she was. Everybody couldn't get their questions out fast enough. What happened? What happened? Where were you? And she said, why did you decide to, you know, why did she finally decide to go? She said, well, she said, I floated up just like I was instructed, and then I turned around, and out of curiosity, I looked behind me at the place that I had just floated out of, and it was a log cabin. And so she says, I said, log cabin, Indian, okay, I believe, I forgive him, it's everything's fine, okay. So then I was ready to go because there was no more anger, there was no more bitterness, and she could now go in peace. And it was just the most incredible thing you could ever imagine.
Wasn't there some connection to another relationship in her present life, if you will, that experienced some healing as a result of that? I'm just trying to remember.
Well, she actually, 3 weeks later, she came in and she announced to the class that she had just had the most wonderful period of her whole life. And she said all her life she had been bedridden every month when it was time for the period, and in agony.
Right.
And she said this time it was just beautiful and natural and completely painless. And she said, I figured out that if you have bled to death from a particular orifice of your body, when you saw blood coming out of that, it panicked you. And she says, I know I tightened up and was terrified that I was going to die without even knowing what was going on. And once I went through that, it wasn't there anymore. It was just erased. It was gone. And she also, had, up until that time, all of her life, she had feared and hated older men. And after that, she became close friends with the oldest gentleman in our class. And we kind of figured out when we talked it over together that probably her husband in that lifetime was older. So she was holding a grudge against that husband who she thought had abandoned her while she was dying and having his child.
I see. Okay. I hadn't remembered that had worked.
So there's your karma connection.
Fascinating. We do have a caller. Would you like to take the call now and then come back to talk more about your book? Or would you rather continue
to
talk about the book first? Okay. The caller is Francis. Okay.
Hello, Francis.
The caller is Francis.
Hello?
She'll be with us in a minute. Paula is going to connect her to us.
Oh, okay. Well, I just wanted to say that I just basically told you the first chapter of the book.
Yes, you did. And it was an amazing experience. And I'd like you to just think about this in the meantime while we're waiting to get Francis on the line. If there was any particular experience within your multi-life therapy that just blew you away, if you will. And also, I'd like to, maybe we can do this now because there seems to be, there's Francis. Okay,
hi.
There's Francis. Francis, would you like to talk to Mary?
Yes, Mary. Mary, I was wondering, I don't know if she handed you the question, but if you'd be willing to channel some healing and, any negative energies that are causing some misalignments in my body or what have you.
I would love to, but I don't think that this program is the perfect time to do that. Why don't I give you my home telephone number, and you can call me after David and I are finished, and I'll be happy to work with you.
Oh, wonderful.
It's 212-724-4081.
And for anybody else that might be listening, Mary, that didn't have their pen and paper handy, if you would like to contact Mary to do multi-life therapy or to consult with her about any other issues in your life, she's going to repeat that phone number for you now. Go ahead, Mary.
It's 212-724-4081. And thank you so much for contacting me, Frances. I'll be happy to work with you. But
I
don't think
it
would be fair to everybody else to just concentrate on you at this moment. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Sure thing.
Thank you, Frances. All right, let's get back to your book, Mary.
Sure.
What would you like to tell the listeners about your book, and how can it help them?
Well, up until now, most people that I know have considered karma one of those things that is static in your life, that is going to just, you're stuck with it, and you are stuck because of it. And in this work, when we deal with that karma and ferret out the origin of it and how it came about and why it came about, and literally go backwards in that lifetime to before the event that caused the karma happened, and rewrite it in a different positive way, then you just simply erase it, and it's as if it never existed. And you can literally go onward without that burden.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It does. Just for the sake of the listeners and to promote your book, Mary, I would like to read a description of the book. What would you do with a round-trip ticket to travel through time? What if you could rewrite history? Learn from their mistakes. Eliminate hidden barriers. Break free from karmic patterns. Multi-life therapy is a safe, easy way to do all that and more. This book, which is called Journals of a Healer by Mary Blake, chronicles real people's visits with other incarnations and their transformative results. Mary's fluid, engaging style transports you to Atlantis, Egypt, Nazi Germany, and even other galaxies. Each encounter with emotional turmoil and unresolved conflicts carried forward from other lifetimes bears gifts of enlightenment and triumph on many levels. Mary's pioneer work with multi-life therapy delicately taps the resonating core of consciousness to reveal the interconnections of karmic history, current reality, and future potential. Do we have past lives? Journals of a Healer goes far beyond that question to affirm past life regression and document the unlimited ways it can heal. Anyone seeking to understand themselves will benefit from this extraordinary book, which brings to light story after remarkable story of past lives. In it, Mary Blake takes us on a guided tour of healing through the power of spirit and universal love. Through her work, she has helped countless people find greater peace in this lifetime, and she has helped them rewrite history, expanding love for the ages. So that is a description of Journals of a Healer, which has received 5-star reviews on Amazon.com. And Mary Blake, the author, is here today, and we are talking with her about her book at present, and we will be talking to her about other facets of her life after that. So, Mary, is there any single experience with multi-life therapy that really stands out above and beyond all the rest?
One of the most amazing experiences that I had was a minister who came to me, and he said He was going to Europe for the first time, and he felt there was something that he had to work through, some kind of karmic trauma that he had to work through before he left the States. And I was shocked, absolutely shocked, to find us in the 12th century in a place where I had lived. And at that time, I was a Cathar, they were heretics. From the Catholic Church was convinced we were very evil and we were dealing with witchcraft because we were doing things like gathering herbs from the fields and from the woods and putting them into great tinctures and in great vats and soaking long wrapping cloths in them and then wrapping them around people and healing them in that particular way, helping them to heal. And I was out in the woods gathering herbs, and I came back, and the entire village was on fire.
Mm.
It just burned literally with everyone in it, including my wife and child. Well, it turned out that this lovely minister who had come to me for help was the bishop who had actually caused and led that mini crusade.
Oh, my. Wow. Wow. Talk about personal interaction within the context of one of your sessions.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
So you were the one that was receiving some healing in that case.
We were both, and the interesting
yes.
thing was that I was required to help this man to rewrite his history at that moment, so that he would not have the hatred and would not kill off all of those innocent people. And it was a tremendous relief to his spirit. But when he came back, he said, "How did you do it?" He said, "If I were you," he said, I would have tried to strangle me. He said, "At least I would have thrown me out of the house." He said, "How did you possibly have it?" I said, "It literally, when I cannot do this without surrendering to spirit power. And in this doing this, when I have to go into a light trance to allow spirit to come through." And it was spirit that helped us both to heal with that.
Mm.
And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for that experience. But we were both shaking. We were hugging each other, saying, "Oh my word, this is the most incredible healing I've ever heard of."
Wow. Well, that is profound. Well, thank you for sharing that. We do have a caller. We have Regina on the line, and while we're waiting for Paula to bring her on the line, I just wanted to ask you, what motivated you to write the Journals of a Healer, Mary?
Well, I can only touch so many people on a one-to-one basis. And I'm pretty lousy at self-promotion. So there are an awful lot of people out there that would like to know that there is an easy, simple way through their pain and through what they think of as a life sentence. Karma is not a life sentence. It just is not. It is something that can be dealt with like any other event in our lifetimes.
Beautiful. Well, it just so happens that our caller has a question with regard to karma, and she is on the line now. This is Regina. Regina, welcome to
yes.
the show.
Hi, thank you very much for having Mary. I've heard of you, Mary, through David, and I was looking forward to talking to you.
Oh, wonderful.
I have many years ago, say, I don't know, 30 years ago, I did past life regression therapy with Roger Wolger, and I dealt with a lot of different things. But the one thing I haven't dealt with is my relationship with my son, which is broken.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how to fix it. When he was 2 years old, he told me about his former life. And he's the one that argued with me. No, I didn't see this on TV. This is, you know, this is what my life was.
Yeah.
And he was split from his family. Well, now it is again. He's split from my side of the family, and he will not speak to me. I find it very painful, and I'm sure he finds it painful, and I don't know how to fix it. I don't know what to do.
Is he open to any kind of spiritual work?
I don't think so. He's more like his dad, very materialistic, very successful in the material world. That's kind of why I was rejected from his father's side, because I wasn't materialistic enough, you know. I was one of those healing kind of ladies, spiritual person, and they didn't think so much of me, you know.
Well, you may or may not be able to do anything about his karma. The only thing that you can do is to work on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And in working on your own karma, you can free some of the vibrations that are going through. It's interesting that you tell me what happened when he was two, because right now I'm working on a book that I'm calling Einstein Babies Forever. And
I love the title.
It's based on the premise that we all come in with genius of one kind or another.
Oh, yes.
And we are literally civilized out of it. We are brainwashed and battered, and that happened to him.
That
and it's
happened
obvious
to him.
It's obvious that he came in with such gifts and such brilliance. And
he
all we
it.
Can
he
do...
He's hidden it totally. You know, I used to be astounded by what he could do, and then it just got all covered up.
Well, this is what we do. We desperately try to please the adults in our family and in our school and in our friends and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, I usually say that women are worse off than men, because we go from pleasing parents to pleasing friends to pleasing teachers to pleasing boyfriends to pleasing husbands, you know.
Family, grandchildren.
But I'm also a proponent of male liberation, so I've realized that men go through that kind of stuff too.
Yeah.
And it's obvious for them. It's really, it doesn't show up as clearly, you know. It's not so much in your face. So
accepted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I would suggest is that, I would love to. I'd love to do a multi-life therapy session with you, and we could explore the other lifetime that the two of you shared, and we could at least heal it from your end. And when you heal a spiritual break in another lifetime, you actually heal all lifetimes.
Oh, I'd love that. Can you work on the phone? Do you have to go to where you are to do this?
I don't like to promise it because in order to do this successfully, number one, the person needs to be able to concentrate, and they need to be able to shut off the thinking and the analysis and all of the things that separate us from our so-called higher self.
Mm-hmm.
If
I
that
follow.
Makes sense.
The one
job that anyone who is going into a multi-life therapy session is to not think.
Yes, I understand.
The minute you start saying, am I making this up? Am I imagining this? How can this possibly be true? It's like you break the concentration. You break the thread.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
So
I know.
If you are capable of concentration, of literally being there exactly where we are, doing what we're doing, and forget what you might have thought was going to happen, or what is even the mindset of that particular individual that we're working with.
I'm good at it. I did like 6 months therapy with a group of people. We all went to see Roger Wolger and worked, and it was very wonderful. But this was before the break with my son, and I've never, worked on that. And I'd love to heal that. So if I call that number you gave,
exactly,
you could arrange
we will arrange for to do that.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, I look very much forward to it. And I
thank
you very much
for... Okay, and thank you so much, Regina, for calling and for asking that beautiful question.
Yes, well, I'm sure a lot of people have trouble with their kids. So, I know I'm not alone. So,
I do hope you read my book.
I will. I'll get a copy. Thank you
so
very
you
much,
understand,
Mary.
And you will understand because there are over 30 different sessions there. You will understand that each one is totally different.
Okay. Okay.
So
having worked with
someone who does past life regression, you'll probably find my approach rather different because I didn't study for this. I literally backed into it kicking and screaming and saying, no, this is ridiculous, thinking honestly, sincerely, that past life regression was a scam.
Well, see, now how he did it sounds like how you did it. It was, we relaxed and we went over a bridge and we looked down at our feet and we started telling what was going on. We told the story and somebody was recording it, just like a reporter. You know, it was just the story of
who told the story?
The person that was in the story, the person that went over the bridge, and I looked down at my feet, and I was telling my story in that life.
Okay. Did you meet a spirit there who helped you to change it all from positive to negative, from negative to positive? See, that's where this. Believe me, I did not study for this. It just hit me between the eyeballs, was a rock out of heaven. It was that shattering to me. I was terrified, And it was almost a month of this stuff happening before I finally admitted that I had anything to do with it at all. I thought, this was the most incredible. Who are these people in this class? How did they how did they find me? What is going on here? And I really thought it was a class energy. I had no idea that I had anything to do with it. It just snuck up on me,
That's your healing to give to the world. Thank you very much for doing that and taking the risk. And You're giving me hope. So thank you so much.
I was a deer in the headlight. I had no place else to go.
Wow. Uh-oh. You're it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you for taking on the healing. So I look forward to talking to you at another time.
Great. When you read my book, you will see what I mean. Okay?
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much, Mary. Thank you,
Alrighty,
David.
Bye. Bye, Regina.
Bye. Thank you, Regina,
bye.
For calling. It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Good to be heard.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, let's see now. Well, we talked about changing karma and breaking free of life patterns. Is there anything else that you'd like to add to how that is accomplished, Mary?
Well, to tell you the truth, I don't really know. I can't exactly tell you how it's accomplished. All I know mm-hmm. is that the closest thing, I guess, that would be in Gestalt psychology and in NLP, there's something that they call retracing, in which you deliberately going into something that happened when you were younger that has never been resolved, that has always upset you, and
mm-hmm.
go through role playing and pretend, you know, that you're doing that it's all coming out, and you're saying the things that you never could have, that you couldn't say at the time, and you're doing the things that might make it better in your own psyche, you know, and
mm-hmm.
that, and it's quite effective, but that is the closest thing. But literally, if you can imagine, suppose you're walking and you in this other lifetime, you discover that you were killed in a dark alley, that you, or just shortcut you were going through, and you were mugged and killed in this alley. Suppose just as you started to go into that alley, somebody said to you, "Hey, wait just a second. You know, that looks like a pretty dangerous place. I don't think you ought to go in there. Why don't you? You see those three guys over there under the streetlight? They look like really nice fellows. Why don't you go over and ask them if they would mind walking you home? You're a little spooked and you're a little scared to go home by yourself." And these guys nicely walk you home, and you don't go through that black dark alley, and you don't get mugged. And now all of a sudden in this lifetime, you're not claustrophobic anymore.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that's a great example. Thank you very much. Can you tell our readers, your listeners,
yes.
How they can learn more about you and where they can find your book?
Oh, sure. My book is Journals of a Healer, and the subtitle is A Personal Account of Ventures Beyond Time, Space, and So-Called Reality. And it's available at Amazon and any over 2,000 other booksellers throughout the world. It's available on demand. It's printed whenever they order it. It's printed. And for me, I can give you an email. As a matter of fact, I just got this email, so it will be all fresh and from this. It's mary@themaryblake.com. Everybody's been telling me for years that my name, I sound like something out of a soap opera, and there are so many other Mary Blakes in the world. I decided that I should be the Mary Blake. So
there you go.
Well,
that's beautiful.
So that's my brand new email. It's mary@themaryblake.com.
Well, Mary, it's been a joy to have you here, and there are many questions that I had wanted to ask you which are going to need to wait for another time. Would you be willing to come back on the show at some point in the future and we have a chance to ask some of those?
I'm sorry. We just, Regina had a very deep question, and
No, I'm very glad she called. Yep. I'm glad she called, and I think that that's the most important thing that we can do in this life is to be there for other people when they reach out. I've always felt that, you know, I can put aside and whatever I think is important when God reveals to me something else that is important. And so it's all a matter of being flexible. And
my friend Stardust just nudged me and said, take care of this now. Everybody will like to hear this anyway. So it was a little bit different than a kind of a personal healing. So, you know, I have a spirit guide whose name is Stardust, and she really guides me in many ways and gets me through some things that I don't quite know how to handle.
How does she communicate with you?
She talks to me in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you channel her in writing at all?
I don't channel Stardust in writing. I channel her in deep trance.
I see.
You see, for
and do you record
for,
that?
Yes, I have recorded hundreds of sessions. I taught a spiritual development class for over 10 years in trance, and she was kind of the MC, you know, the mistress of ceremonies. And she would come in and kind of give a little mini lecture and then invite one of the other spirits that we work with. And yeah, I just kind of had the imagination of them up there looking down and saying, okay, according to who's here tonight, I think, Sam, they would respond best to you. So they kind of picked out whoever was going to come through. And there were a number of different spirit guides who came through. There was a 12-foot-tall extraterrestrial who called himself Sri Akaya, and just bunches of them. So that was something that I did for quite a long time, and it was very important, but then it kind of dwindled to not too many people were showing up, so I decided, you know, it's time maybe to take a break.
Well, it sounds like you've done some very fascinating work in your life, and hopefully there'll be plenty more to come. And I thank you very much for appearing on the show today, and I thank the two callers that called in. And for the one that called before the show began, take a look at my upcoming schedule. We'll probably try to have Mary back on sometime this summer, if that works for you, Mary.
Oh, sure. I'll be happy to. You are a very dear friend and a wonderful interrogator, shall we say.
Oh, well, thank you. All right. Well, hopefully the interrogation wasn't too severe. So I'm going to say goodbye to you.
It was very pleasant, actually.
Well, I enjoyed it immensely, and I'm going to say goodbye to you now with my thanks. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who are having a spiritual experience. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks to find common ground and take it to the next level here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.